Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Welcome inside an all-new Live After Lane. Sorry for the audio issues.
If all of you had any idea what we were doing behind the scenes.
Oh, the Citadel's been an interesting go of things. It's not just the rough start for the Live After Lane, which whatever, we're here. We're blessed. We're too blessed to be stressed. And Ole Miss is now 9-1. But it's been a little bit of an adventure after that win. But really, this game was a nice, sloppy, fun Ole Miss day because it was a lesser opponent, an FCS opponent in the Citadel. Ole Miss was going to dominate this game. I thought the fans showed up. Lane got involved with a happily ever after, helping with the proposal, and Ole Miss moves to 9-1. It was the nice, just walkthrough fun. You know, just a breezy Ole Miss day before the circus comes into town and all that entails that is Florida next week.
Yeah. So, what I was saying, thank you for letting us know the audio was off. Taking a look at this game, I think you pretty much checked all the boxes. Trinidad Chambers had a great game against a very much inferior opponent. Thought the defense was really good today. But we'll get to helmet stickers, and I'll just give you a little hint. Logan Diggs is going to get a helmet sticker for me today. I thought he's one of the people, Ben, that has kind of been waiting in the wings. But there's really nowhere to put him because Kewon Lacy has been incredible for Ole Miss this year. He broke a lot of records, broke some records today. And he's going to be leaned upon heavily over the next couple of weeks with Florida and Mississippi State. We'll get to those two teams in a moment. But kind of talk a little bit about today. Some people that shine for me. I mean, Trey Wallace, what do you say? 8 receptions, 8 targets, 87 yards. I thought Trinidad was good today. I thought Kewon Lacy only had 51 yards but had 3 touchdowns. Ran the ball really hard. But Chambliss, what do you expect? I mean, 29 out of 33, 333, 3 touchdowns. Really good day for him. I thought Austin Simmons was good today. We finally saw Austin Simmons in a more than just a special package capacity. He had the pick, but I don't know how much that was his fault.
It was pretty much his fault.
Well, okay.
The defensive lineman made a play, but he kind of no-sold it. He turned and looked straight at his man, and he just threw a bullet that was right into the arms of a defensive lineman with his hands up. But, he showed some rust, but like you said, he got in there without it. He did get the fourth down try in the first half when we thought he was coming in because we kept going, this is Austin's time. Threw a pass to Luke Koss, who gets one of my game balls whenever we hand him out helmet stickers, whatever we call them. Is it helmet stickers or game balls? Let's settle that here now.
Every week. I like stickers. That kind of reverts back to
So helmet sticker
reverts back to the old school ESPN days. I like the helmet sticker. Mark May, Lou Holtz, and
Luke Koss had him a day because Daquan Wright got nicked up today.
So let's tell everybody what Lane just said.
I asked Lane specifically about Daquan and William Echols, both of which got nicked up and came out. Both could have gone back into the game. Right. They just held them out because it was the Citadel. They were winning 35 to nothing. Blanked that team, and I was really impressed by not just Caleb Odom, who had a good day, 7 targets, 6 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown. But Luke Koss, who was a huge offseason acquisition as far as a portal addition from Arkansas, one of 3, Patrick Kudus and Jalen Braxton being 2 others, both starting. And he was really the most heralded of that group. And because of an injury, suffered with surgery in July, took really till now. And Daquan being nicked up in this kind of game to get some run, but you saw some things out of him too. So in a game like this, where it's going to be an absolute blowout, you look for things like that. Caleb Cunningham getting some run, that
nice
kind of stuff. There was no drama here. It was just a really fun day, very easy breezy day. And one of the things that stood out to me the most was Lane was having himself a good time, both with his halftime, as you reported from the Ole Miss Radio Network, when he said the halftime with John Darnell and
Dave Gillum. That's going to play.
And then –
that's going to play, man.
And then going out there and getting involved in the engagement. Tell the folks.
So, first of all, thank you to Dustin. Dustin.
Destin Bryant. Yeah, he showed up. You. He helped us frame it out, and then he comes in here into my comments and says, "Hey, y'all look good."
Thank you. Thank you. The check's in the mail.
So,
Let me set this up. It was 42-0 or whatever the halftime score, 35-0. And I said, I'm just going to check in and see what Lane tells John Darnell, because I like to – sometimes he offers things. And so I actually followed this up with John on the sideline, by the way. And so walking off the field over to my left, Lane tells Darnell, so looks like Georgia's curb stomping Mississippi State. Oh, you're talking about our game.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, that played, and it's going to go viral, and it's bulletin board, but whatever. And so I asked Darnell towards the end of the game. I was like, what? He said he looked up, and everybody that's been to the vault knows in the upper right-hand side of the southwest corner of the stadium, it shows the scores, and he just happened to flash the score. But don't think for a minute Lane didn't know that. And so, that's going to be some bulletin board material. I want to follow up on something, too. I asked Lane about, do you like where the game falls in the schedule? And he really does. He obviously complimented Lane and complimented Keith Carter on the schedule and that sort of thing. But he likes it because it's like you said it perfect. I was thinking it, but Ben said it. It's like a spring game. I mean, there was no doubt that Ole Miss was going to win the game today, and they were able to play a lot of different players. Nobody, for the most part, was injured. And the most important thing is you got a lot of reps for people. And he even said practice was a lot more spirited this week because they knew they were going to get to play. And it doesn't matter. Everybody wants to play. When you sign your scholarship papers, you come here to play. And I thought it was a great day. And I can't say enough about the students, about the crowd. I'll be honest, I did not anticipate a very big crowd today, because anytime it's this back half of the year, you've got Florida coming up. Everybody and their mother will be in town next weekend. So this is a great opportunity for the out-of-town Rebels to say, hey, I'm just going to hang out, watch this on the SEC Network Plus, and then come next week. That didn't happen. I mean, fans showed up today, and you're to be applauded. The two things that happened, the proposal was awesome. So for everybody that wasn't watching or that you saw it, so the young man was getting ready to kick, and I didn't see the girl was there. He goes down on one knee.
Well, here's the thing, though. She was holding the ball as if she was going to be the holder for the place kick, which I wanted to be – was that not a dead giveaway? Was she not like, wait, what? Yeah. Why wouldn't he be on his knee with the place kick for her to kick the ball, and then before she stopped, drop it, hold the ring? I didn't love the operation.
Well, I mean – It was kind of a delay. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I heard Michael Katz the other day. I was like, well, did she say yes or not? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm looking for the yes. Yeah. And all of a sudden, and I want everybody to go back and rewatch it, because Lane walks in and goes, and the guy never looks at Lane. And all of a sudden he goes, what are you doing? You could tell he was like, what are you doing? And he never acknowledged. And Lane just kind of looked and then ran off. It was kind of a weird game. You know, I talked with somebody on the sideline.
It was fun.
Yeah. And Lane was kind of, you know, blasé a little bit, you know, with the comment to John Darnell, with the proposal. The press conference lasted about 5 minutes. There really wasn't a whole lot to say. And very, very laissez-faire. But make no mistake.
But they handled their business.
They did. And make no mistake, Lane and this team have been preparing for Florida for the last couple of weeks, I can promise you. And they will be ready. Now, Florida may win the game next week, you know, whatever. But it won't be, because this team will not be prepared. It's going to be an absolute raucous environment here next week. Night game, Drew Ingraham, the entire crew will have this place rocking. Of course, he handles the fan engagement and all of his team. I can guarantee you they're going to pull every lever they have next week. If you don't have tickets, you better try to get them. I know it's a sellout. There may be some secondary tickets. I know this. I think Florida will bring a great crowd.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're in the Lane Kiffin business.
They are thirsty.
Yeah, they are in the Lane Kiffin business.
I loved how somebody took a picture. I hate those crowd shots that people take, because they're easily misrepresented. They can mean whatever you want to. You see a few rows open for Ole Miss and the Citadel in the student section, and Florida fans go, see, they don't support Lane Kiffin. They had 57,000 people here for the Citadel in November. And I have been around Ole Miss football quite literally my entire life. Buddy, it would have been 31,000 at kickoff these days. But this was a fine crowd. It was a fine crowd on a sleepy day. And those students who have gotten absolutely dogged, and for good reason in a lot of it, they showed up and stayed. And they hung around. And a lot of people had fun. But it was funny. Yeah, it was a little awkward. Was that proposal. I want to follow up. I want to make sure that they're okay.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just a, oh my gosh, yeah.
It was just kind of
It was a very, she kind of looked at him, and then she hugged him, showed the ring. And
a little performative.
Cool, but it was a little, and by the way, my phone has been lighting up. No, I'm not sick. No, nothing's wrong. No, I'm not at my wit's end. I know I'm not dressed like I normally have the last 2 weeks, especially
this rubbing off on them. Somebody said I look like a man child the way I dress. They're not wrong.
Well, next week we will be in game shape.
I still don't look like this, yeah, brother. Well, you're going to have a towel.
For me, next week we're going to be back in game shape. I just felt like I'd take a little breather this week. And so, yeah, everything's cool.
Still dressed better than me.
Well, look, I want to talk about the defense a minute. I thought Sage Ryan, who's been, you know, whatever.
Dragged.
Yeah. I thought he played well today. We saw Perkins come on and play well today. Imami Ellen was in the backfield all day. Cam Franklin was good. And I just thought the defensive line should be called out today.
The defense deserves a lot of credit. Andrew Jones continues to solidify himself as an anchor for a defense that needed his physicality. He's elevated the play of T.J. Dottery beside him. He gives them a physical presence in the run game they haven't had. He's been a huge addition. Alex Bryant, do you have any injury update on Wright Nichols? Welcome to the show.
Yep,
for those that just joined, I asked Lane specifically about Daquan and William Nichols in his post-game press conference, and he said that both could have gone back into the game. So they just held him out because it was the Citadel, and there's no reason to keep playing them. So I don't think there's any injury concern there. But there was something that you and I saw that is being asked now by Binglesby. Yep. Did you see Kiffin and Keith post-game? We did. They met in the end zone. Couldn't really decipher what it was, but Lane was hot about something.
He was upset. And yeah, thanks for the question. Obviously, it was far enough away. I don't know the context of the conversation. But he had his arm around Lane. Lane had his arm around Keith. And they were having a very festive conversation. I don't think he was upset with Keith. I think it was something else.
Something happened late in game.
So, yeah, we saw that. Not sure what it was.
Look, everybody's all smiles post-game. I talked to Keith on the sidelines. I mean, look, guys, next week's going to be a circus. It's going to be the Lane Kiffin Show. It's going to be nauseating. It's going to be annoying. National media, Paul Feinbaum, all these guys, they're gonna bring up the Florida rumors and how he hasn't turned them down. And I'll tell you right here now, I'm live after Lane. I'm reporting on the OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet of On 3. Like, for me, it's quite simple where things stand today. It's either the Ole Miss extension that's been on his desk for weeks or it's Florida. I would still put my money on the Ole Miss extension. That's not going to change the fact that next week is going to be insane. And unless he comes out, and he could end this at any point, and says, you know, does like a Dan Lanning or pick your guy, Kurt Cignetti, that's come out and said something, that's not going to stop what next week is going to turn out to be. And honestly, if you look at the schedule, ESPN being the if it bleeds, it leads kind of, you know, ambulance stations that they can tend to be, Florida Ole Miss looks pretty appealing for game day.
It does, and I will tell you this. I spoke with someone of significance at length yesterday, and I feel very confident in saying that should Lane Kiffin depart and take insert job here, it will not be because the University of Mississippi did not do everything in its power to keep him both financially, administrative-wise, and outside the job-wise. So let's just say that should Lane decide to take another position, it will not be because the university did not take care of every need that was asked for. And I will say this, I've said this on other shows, and I'll say this here today, and it's not going to change. Depending on what Lane Kiffin does, I'm with Ben. Everything that I've been told and everything that I think, I believe he stays. But I will say this, should he leave, Ole Miss has not and will not ever be in a better position than it is right now for an incoming head coach.
It's
in an incredible position, both financially, both what Lane Kiffin and his staff have built. And I think more than anything, from an administration standpoint, you have stability. I was with Scott Spencer on Miss 98 this morning, and Scott said stability. And I agree with Scott. And that's exactly what I think. Having an athletic director like Keith Carter, Dr. Glenn Boyce, and a fan base and a growth collective led by Walker Jones.
And the fan base showed up for the Citadel. Yeah, I don't want to hear anybody say different.
Everybody working in concert. You can't say that for LSU. You can't say that for Auburn. You can't say that necessarily for Florida. But you can say that for Ole Miss. And Ole Miss fans can have their head held high. They're in a really good position regardless of what happens.
Exactly right. It's not going to stop next week from being any less circus-like. And we'll see how the whole Lane Kiffin, you know, saga, if you want to call it that, plays out. Right now, you're not going to – like, next week you can start to see some real movement potentially. Yeah. Certainly in the bye week after Florida rumblings that we'll obviously be covering at the Ole Miss Spirit. We do it every day. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet of On 3. Someone asked about Kevon Lacy tying with his 3 touchdowns today, the single season rushing record held by Quinshon Judkins. One more and he surprasses him. He's
going to go out on a limb and say he gets it.
Yeah, I'm going to say he gets it. I think Lane really wanted to get it off, you know, get that one done this week too. He really was He's been trying to knock Quinn Shot off that top perch for a minute now, it looks like. And Keywan, who gets my very first helmet stickers. We jump to those. Well, Luke Koss got my first helmet sticker. But there's so many to hand out. I think we could spend like half of our time here talking about helmet stickers, because Keywan Lacy, even though the overall production was limited, only 11 carries, or I'm reading the long, strong stat sheet. Yeah, well, we got the same thing. Three touchdowns. Yep, 11 for 51, three touchdowns, 4.5 yards per carry. Those three touchdowns ties the single season Ole Miss rushing record for touchdowns previously held and still held until he passes him by Quinshon Judkins. He gets one. Luke Koss getting some run. Caleb Odom getting some run. Who's your second helmet sticker? Because I know there's plenty to give out. We might not even stop at two.
Yeah, I'm going Andrew Jones. He's becoming one of my favorite players on defense. And what I love about Andrew Jones is Lane Kiffin made mention last week, he specifically called him out, Ben, and said, this is a guy that would not get off the field in practice. This is a guy that showed up early, stayed late, did what he needed to do in practice, and he earned playing time. And now they're not getting him off the field. So a big game for Andrew Jones. He's getting a helmet sticker. Also, for me, the offensive line, I thought they did a tremendous job today protecting Trinidad Chambliss, opening up some running rooms for Quinn.
You don't say Quinshon. He almost said it. We caught him. I said the thing.
For Keywan Lacy, y'all know where I'm at. But I thought they did a great job opening up running lanes for him. But I think the pass protection was really good today. I don't know, maybe one or two holding fouls, but I thought the offensive line, they're getting a helmet sticker for me today. And the third helmet sticker for me is going to my man, place kicker, Lucas Carnero. He continues to knock the extra points home, kick the ball out of the end zone.
And talk his shit while he does it.
He is a really good place kicker, and Ole Miss is in really good position moving forward against Florida and Mississippi State in the field position business. You know, we hear Lane talk about analytics and all this other stuff. When you've got a kicker like Lucas Carnero and then Oscar Byrd, who kicked a bomb today, that gives you the opportunity to not have to go for those fourth and sevens at your own 45. You can kick it deep and let your defense play. And I thought it was a really big field position play today. I know it was a blowout, but those two guys played really well.
Yeah, Oscar Byrd booted one for 57 yards. Meanwhile, Andrew Jones finished with four total tackles, two solos. Half a tackle for loss. I'm going to give out a few more helmet stickers, even though we only do three usually. I'm going to give one to Andrew Maddox, the freshman defensive tackle who came in with the stubs and tied for the team leading tackles in his limited time, mostly in garbage duty. He could have come in and gone through the motions. That man got after it. Seven tackles, two solos, 1.5 tackles for loss. We talk about the future, man. William Eccles is turning into an all-league caliber defensive tackle. Xavier Harris is hard to take him off the field. Andrew Maddox is coming, folks, and he is in his time, he showed out today. Another one, Caleb Cunningham got him his catch, his first career catch as an Ole Miss Rebel. I think if anyone was told in the preseason that the five-star signee, Caleb Cunningham, top signee in Mississippi, top 30 kid nationally, wouldn't get his first catch until November, would have gone, oh, gosh, something went terribly wrong. I talked to Caleb at a recent high school football game. He's doing good. He just acknowledged, and it's true, not getting here in the spring, not getting here early, really set him back in an absolutely loaded wide receiver room. But in his limited time, I watched him a lot, almost exclusively. Not only does he go for one catch and 19 yards, but he was active, and he physically looks like he's about ready to contribute. I don't think this will necessarily lead to much of anything rest of the year, but it was good to see him get a little bit of run. So those two true freshmen getting some playing time and getting in the box score. Caleb was one of 12 receivers that Ole Miss got passes to. Winnie Watkins, again, a freshman, keeps coming on 5 for 80 and a touchdown. Just so many good things today from so many Rebels that deserve helmet stickers, Brad.
Yep, today we want to say a special thank you to Alan Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, just east of the Oxford Kroger. Could not thank Mason and the entire crew, Brian, and everybody at the Alan Samuels. Go by and tell them you watched this and you heard about it all on the Live After Lane here following the big win. Ole Miss, a big winner today, 49-0 over at the Citadel. Real quick, Ben, I want to say how much I just think today was a good day for the young players. I can't say that enough. Caleb Odom, he is an incredible player.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dude, he's coming along, man. And, like, when you look at his final stat line, He got 7 targets, caught 6 of them, 64 yards. That's efficiency. And
that name right below him is not bad either.
Winston Market. I mean, that's what's so interesting is this team, Lane said it before, but it's true. This team was not supposed to be 9-1 after 10 games. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But it's a credit to the best coaching job Lane and the staff have done at Ole Miss to this point. But they have real talent. But what makes it even more exciting because they're ahead of schedule. And you look at all the young cats that are coming on that are going to be huge parts of next year's team and the next Ole Miss team. The future, the present is exciting enough. But the future is equally as exciting. And then you got to see finally Austin Simmons again get some run because, in my opinion, he's the favorite, the overwhelming favorite to be Ole Miss' starter next year, right? I know Trinidad came out on a podcast this week and said he's going to get his waiver. I believe it. I believe it. When he gets that waiver, it's just – I've heard it's not likely at all. But Austin – you know, the interception was bad. The interception was not great. But he did come out there, dropped an absolute dime. Deep pass to Caden Lee that Caden just dropped. So,
Caden Lee, real quick, time out. Caden Lee caught the touchdown.
Yeah, he did.
Caden Lee came back and bounced back, and I thought Caden Lee had a good game today. So, good bounce back game for him. Winston Watkins, what can you say?
Yep.
But here's one quick thing, too. We haven't talked about any interior offensive line or tackles that came into the game late. Had some really good experience. I think John Wayne Oliver came in the game.
No, John Wayne Oliver's hurt. No, you're talking about Joe Corey.
Corey? Not him. Corey.
I saw a Devin Harper who's going to be the future right tackle. Yep.
I thought he came in.
He played. I mean,
Fields maybe.
Ethan Fields. Jude Foster played.
Jude Foster.
I will say, Ole Miss deserves a ton of credit for being able to keep their starting offensive line, knock on wood, healthy through 10 games of a 12-game regular season because the depth gets scary once you get past, like, number 8 on the offensive line. And you saw that today. Because Lane, I mean, it was nothing but good things in the postgame, except for one thing. I wish our backup offense would have played better.
Yeah, he did throw that out there.
And a lot of that had to do with they don't have a ton of depth after about 8 on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I think Mike could say the same thing for the defensive front, Ben. I think Ole Miss would be better suited if you had your druthers, would have a little bit more depth on the defensive front. Right now, they're really good across the first team. Second team, I think maybe needs a little bit more depth across that defensive front.
Of all of these standout performers for Ole Miss this week, who won the day? Who's your number one standout or the biggest standout from a 49-0 win for Ole Miss over the Citadel?
To me, it's Caleb Odom. I mean, he just came out of nowhere. And the reason I say that is because Daquan Wright's awesome. He's a future NFL tight end. He's incredible. When he went down with the shoulder injury, we did see Luke Hines come on. But Caleb Odom, he is that sit-down, perfect little drag across the middle. He can run it. He can catch it. And he can sit down perfectly and get the first down. I thought he had a really big, really good game today. He was my game breaker today for Ole Miss.
My game breaker of the day was Lane Kiffin. I thought he handled this game kind of brilliantly. Yeah. He didn't get in there.
You know, if I would have said Lane Kiffin, you would have called me a brown nose.
But I'm doing this for the first time this year. You've done it like every other game.
Yeah, I didn't do it last week.
I know you didn't because I made you feel self-conscious about
you
it.
Did.
So I'm picking Lane Kiffin because, it could have been easy for everybody, especially once it was out of hand. Everyone inevitably knew it was going to get out of hand. It gets to 28-0 like it's nothing, dude. This could have been a friggin' ghost town. In old years, it would have been. But everybody kind of leaned into it was a pretty day outside. The Rebels were playing football. And Lane Kiffin, who is leaving a fan base, like two fan bases just like begging to know something one way or another.
Today,
he had fun today. And like it treated this as the absurdity of college football and the beauty of the absurdity of college football that it is. And to get out there with the awkward proposal that we're not sure. Did she say yes?
Yeah, because I mean she did the whole thing and she pointed to the ring and yeah, she said yes. But look, I want to kind of revisit this for everybody that just jumped on.
Okay.
It wasn't an immediate yes.
I'm saying it was a lot of –
he delayed, and I thought she was going to hang him. Showed up, and then it just kind of – she's like, well, I better – I don't know, but it was not an immediate.
Lane won the day because he saved a proposal.
He might have saved it from her saying no.
All I know is I kept waiting for phone.
Yes. Yes. It never came.
Yeah, she was acting pretty hard with it.
Yeah.
But – yeah.
But at the end, she came up and pointed to the ring. So we're assuming here, and we know you never assume anything, but we're assuming that it was indeed a yes. All right, let's
just need a follow-up, though. But Lane won. Like, I give him winning the day because
there's enough TikTokers, Snapchatters, and Facebookers out there. They'll hit us on the Twitter/X Machine and OM Spirit where you can sign up for $1. They'll let us know if it's okay. We'll think about wedding plans. And it wouldn't surprise me if Lane would go to the wedding.
I think that's asking a little much.
Okay.
An officiant would be asking way too much. But like, if we're really all content brain, that nothing would be funnier than that.
Yeah.
But yes, Lane won it for me. There was the game breaker today because he's aware. He's not dumb, y'all. He knows exactly what's coming next week. I mean, he's allowed it to happen.
It is a content dream next week.
Y'all, I don't want to deal with like. I'm all in. We write
I'm
about
pushing all the chips in.
Hey, look. At the end of the day, what do I think he's going to do? I think he's going to sign. Yeah.
But when he walks out of that tunnel pregame and those Florida fans start singing, "We want Lane," and it's coming. That's going to be just.
Well, somebody like proposed the hypothetical to me. They're like, "Well, hey Ben," and I know it's probably a long shot, but Ben, what if he's like holding on to all this time just so he can do like some announcement of the signing on the Jumbotron?
I said that.
You said that to me? Well, you weren't the only one.
No, on the sideline, I was like, hey, man, what if he Wednesday he comes out?
Well, I've had people say, like, quite literally, like, you know, going into LSU in 2003, the Russell Crowe gladiator video that fired everybody up. You know, as much as
that was pretty cool.
So instead of that, you get Lane going, I'm here to stay or something. I don't think that's happening. I don't want y'all to get y'all's hopes up. I think that he doesn't know.
The train's coming with the smoke.
Yeah, well, they did that. Either way. He has set up an absolute circus for next week. He could end it at any time if he wanted to. He's decided himself.
He just enjoys it.
Of course he enjoys it, but like he's also going to he loves being a wanted man. And right now I think it's just Florida is a true threat for Lane Kiffin. But today he looked like a guy. And the way he's been behaving and like honestly, he'll be a real dick after all that. You know what I mean? Because today he was out there with a proposal. He's doing this, he's doing that. That's part of Lane Kiffin. Like all the talk of home and Knox doing some good things and the starter for Oxford High School as a sophomore. I just think it's too
he did.
It's just too many good things are happening for Ole Miss football in a place that is unprecedented to let that be the main story. Because next week, if they get through Florida, buddy, the Egg Bowl sets up for a punch, like a no doubt ticket berth to the college football playoff for a national championship. I hate that this is the focus coming into next week, but it is what it is. Lane's done it. Today, I thought he did a good job of making an Ole Miss day feel like an Ole Miss day.
And Peyton, yes. A yes is a yes. I'm not saying that it was not a yes. Obviously, point to the finger. That signifies she did say yes. All we're saying.
Until she took that thing off and she went in the tunnel and went, I can't believe you.
I didn't say that.
I did.
So Ben made mention to the Egg Bowl. We want to let you guys know that during halftime that are just now joining us, thank you guys for all these people. So going into the locker room, Lane looks at John Darnell. John says, just like he always does, Coach, thoughts on the first half. He says, wow, Georgia's just beating us. Just curb stomping. I don't remember the words. Like, just beating the tar to Mississippi State. Oh, he said.
Boat racing.
Oh, you're asking about our game. Yeah, well, I thought we were playing well.
Yeah, we're playing really well.
He said that. And so, anyway.
He just had fun with it.
He just doesn't care, man. Anybody else, you know, Dan Mullen taking the microphone. This is just peak Egg Bowl Twitter.
Yes.
And I don't know what the online socials are going to look like the next couple of weeks. I can say this. That will not be forgotten. I only wish I had audio of it. But I'm going to have to go back and find the audio.
But here's the thing. We think that the proposal, she said yes. As far as Peyton Weems, who asked, where's the presser at? Well, this is the live post-game show. We don't have the presser yet.
It'll be coming, Peyton.
At any point.
Just look on the omspirit.com. Yeah. If you're not a member, you can sign up today for $1.
$1.
And
I don't know why I keep using my mic.
You can sign up and then you can watch everything there.
All right, real quick, I want to touch on a couple of things before we get out of here. Riverland Roofing, I want to thank them. They've just been so supportive of Talk of Champions and the Ole Miss spirit. For all your roofing needs, contact Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. If you're unhappy with or shopping your health insurance, call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449, quoteswithdrew.com. In my hometown, Bank of B&A Bank, I want to shout out all these people that mean so much to me. And we thank Alan Samuels, who I've known since, man. Good grief, 2009. So thankful for Brian and Mason and also B&A Bank, 662 534-8171 is my hometown bank, and I just love those people. And so, the presser will be coming up, Peyton, pretty soon.
And let me say,
I wanted real quick your main takeaways from that press conference. That's for me, it was the right that Daquan and William Eccles could have gone back in. Yeah. Anything else jump out to you from that?
No, other than Lane was not particularly pleased with the second team. He specifically called out and said that he wished the backups would have played better. Otherwise, it's a very productive game. I mean, you just try to get in and out, but then you made your injury. I thought, you know, the game plan was really good. Winnie Watkins, to me, just continues to be an incredible
superstar
player.
Superstar making, man.
You know, Caleb Odom's coming on. Daquan's doing what he needs to do. I just think Ole Miss needs to, once again, play within himself next couple of weeks, not let the moment get too big for them. But here's the thing. I mean, you know, here's the difference to me. And I had this conversation with somebody right before the game ended. The difference between the 22 season and this season, when Lane was talking, or there was rumors about other jobs.
Hey, Will and Mary in the NOLA area.
Keep going. Yeah, Lane didn't handle it well, and he would probably tell you he went after John Sokoloff whenever there was obviously a rapport between Lane and Auburn. This year is just different. He really kind of embraces that other people want him, and by that I mean he pretty much just said that when people want him to come coach their team, that's just basically a hat tip to the players and how well they're playing. So he's embraced that. Secondly, he's talked to Molly McGrath of ESPN a couple weeks ago. He said he talked to the team. He's addressed it with them. And he's embracing this. He didn't do that in 22. And it doesn't appear that it's bothered the team at all. And I don't think in large
really
part
hasn't.
It hasn't really bothered the fan base. It's just kind of – they would love for Lane
to come out. Oh, I think the fan base – yeah.
Well, I mean, they would love for Lane to come out and say, I'm the head coach at Ole Miss and I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I mean, sure. But to say that the fans have appreciated what his transparency so far, to a certain extent,
it's been better than it's been
before. It's been a lot better than it has before. So, yeah the takeaway for me, the press conference, really liked the play today from Chambliss, accepting an interception from Austin Simmons and Caleb Odom, the offensive line. Thought it was a good day today for Ole Miss.
All right, around the SEC, any results? It's 5 o'clock, not even 5 o'clock yet, so not a lot has happened. But State got the doors blown off of it by –
yeah, a little deceiving score Georgia there. At one point it was 41-7 or 35-7, 38-7.
I mean, as far as Ole Miss is standing in the SEC –
they'll be ready in 2 weeks.
Here's something –
they'll be ready in 2 weeks.
Oh, dude, that's going to be an absolute –
they'll be ready.
Oh, I dread it because I'm glad they got their first SEC win out of the way, because that was setting up for the most We Are Ole Miss loss ever, to keep you out of the playoff at 10-2 and, you know, get their first SEC win, spoil the whole thing. It was setting up that way. They got their win, got destroyed by Georgia. It's going to be a hell of a game, a hell of a fight for them. But, you know, that's 2-3 weeks away. Florida's what's coming up next. They can beat you, too. They got real
absolutely
talent. But if you're Ole Miss, you're beelining, barreling towards that college football playoff berth. You got 2 more opportunities to get it done. Best place you've ever been in the history, especially in the modern era, to really get what you ever wanted. But, you know, the SEC championship game, I've just been hearing a lot of this on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, for the Bone 3. Sign up today for $1 about getting there, because I know Ole Miss fans, that's been like the boogeyman, or not the boogeyman, but just like the big white whale. They've always wanted to get to Atlanta. They've always wanted the SEC championship game. And it would be great to see Ole Miss get there, but like now in this new culture, you're kind of okay missing it. But wouldn't it be kind of crazy? Ole Miss goes 7-1 twice in the SEC and not make the SEC championship game.
I've been pretty vocal about it. I mean, it would be
really cool. Want it.
It would be really cool, I think, to be able to walk into Atlanta 11-1 facing an Alabama or Texas A&M or whatever school would be there. So to me, it would mean a lot to me personally, just because I've never seen Ole Miss in an SEC championship game. And I truly believe if Ole Miss were 11-1 and they were to lose, they're still probably in the same position they would be had they gone in 11-1. I don't think losing that game is going to keep them out of the playoff, nor keep them out from hosting. I personally believe that. So I think that would – but you got to get there first. You've got to get to 11-1. There's 2 components to that, beating Florida and beating Mississippi State. Ben, before we get out of here, I want to say a special thank you to my friends over at T. White's Custom Tees. Also, our good friends at Debbie Johnson Realty. She's a member of the Kessinger Real Estate family. Our friends at Arriva, Dead Soxie, Connie Chicken, and my good friend Philip Hearn at the Hearn Law Firm. Thank you for everything you do for the Logan Media Network.
Texas A&M is up 14-0 on Missouri. Auburn is up 17-3.
That surprises me at all.
I called it. Dude, watch out now. DJ Durkin's going to make a real play for that job. He beats Alabama this year. DJ Durkin will be the head coach.
If he beats Alabama, he may be the head coach either way. But if he beats Alabama, he's in. DJ Durkin's a really good football coach and someone that you definitely need to pay attention to if you're Auburn. Kind of real quick, looking at Arkansas, there was an erroneous report, but a report nonetheless. It was not correct at all. But Ryan Silverfield's name was linked by a lot of people.
17-10, Vandy just scored.
Linked a lot of people to that Arkansas job. So I'd be interested to see where Arkansas goes, what direction they go. They really want Bobby Petrino to be the head coach, but he cannot lose out and get that job. They'll never be able to survive that. Had he beaten Mississippi State last week and they have a pulse against LSU and Missouri down the stretch, maybe so. But that definitely something to watch. And then the collateral damage, if Vanderbilt's Clark Lee, I don't think he's going anywhere, but if he goes to a Penn State, what happens to Vanderbilt? If someone like an Elijah Drinkwitz goes to Florida, what happens to Missouri? A lot of craziness right now in the world of college football, but all you care about is what is Lane Kiffin going to do?
If Lane Kiffin goes to Florida, what are they going to do? You know what they're going to do?
Ole Miss is going to be in a terrific position.
Be the best job open.
If not, it'll be definitely.
Drinkwitz would be on there. He just needs to make a final decision in a considered amount of time. You don't want this thing dragging out till December. You know, you get into a playoff. You're talking about a first round playoff on December 20th. We're at Christmas here. You know what I mean? Like for him, Ole Miss by then, Eli Drinkwitz going to have moved to one of Penn State or Florida.
But everybody watching, my phone's lighting up. Here's the thing, and I understand you may think the jobs out there are better than Ole Miss. Let's say that I agree with you.
Historically, no one's arguing if Florida is historically a better football program than Ole Miss. No one's arguing that. We're arguing what they are in 2025. And let me tell you something. No one cares about Tim Tebow in 2008 anymore. Now, I got Kentrell Lockett coming on Game Runs Deep to talk about that blocked field goal because you Ole Miss fans want to hear about it on Monday. But, guys, what you used to be doesn't matter anymore. We're in a world where you don't need that. You don't need to go to Florida to be validated. Lane Kiffin is validated. So the calculus is different. There are no such thing as the bigger jobs to go promote your platform. If anything, Eli wants to leave Missouri because it's Missouri.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. We talk about the Ole Miss job, and people, like I said, that are lighting me up about LSU. All right, I get that, just what Ben said. But here's my thing. Lane Kiffin is not leaving a football team getting ready for the college football playoff. If Ole Miss wins the next two games.
If he does, he's a dick.
Well, he's not going to.
That's what I'm agreeing with you.
If Ole Miss is 11-1, don't get in the SEC championship game, he's not leaving this job to go to somewhere else right then. Does he leave after all that? Okay. I mean, maybe. But if Ole Miss wins a game in the college football playoff, then as Ben says, you're deep into December. You know, what are we even doing?
Yeah.
Is Florida going to wait that long?
I think they are so desperate for Lane. They might.
Yeah.
And
then people will be like, well, what happens to Ole Miss? Well, sometimes you need to stop and smell the roses. That would mean that you're fresh off a college football playoff appearance and a college football playoff win. Your program is the creme de la creme across the country with only maybe a handful of jobs that would even be above that. It would be a pretty good spot to be if you're an Ole Miss fan. At the end of the day, stop and breathe.
Stop doom scrolling.
Stop and smell
stop
the
doom
roses.
Scrolling. Is it real? Is it real? Loss. Is it real? Yes. But, Ben, what are you hearing? What do you think? I still would put my money on the extension signing with Ole Miss.
What are they talking about?
It's fine. Let them do what they want to do. Hey, guys, how we doing? Hey, fellas, how we doing? Yep, we're getting waved to. But here's the number one thing. Just win. Just win, baby. That's all you got.
All take care of
yourself. Just win. And Ole Miss continues to win, including a 49-0 win over the Citadel on Saturday to move to 9-1. 9 wins in the first 10 games in 2025. Ole Miss fan, that's the only thing that matters. And if you keep winning, you will be like every week a little bit closer to the thing you wanted your entire life.
All right, I've gotten a question, Ben. We haven't talked about this on air yet. I haven't even asked you about this. Someone asked about basketball season. I'll tell you this: there's a ton of content right now at On3 at onspirit.com, an affiliate of On3 Sports. Jake, Ben, and the entire team have done a great job with basketball. Someone would ask about basketball. I'll have Murphy Holloway on the podcast next week.
My guy.
We'll be talking about
my guy, Murph.
I just sent Gary Darby just across the way. He's now in the lead chair. So basketball is cranking up. Coach O, I had her on the podcast last week. Great interview. Kind of breaking it down. Yo's going to have a great team this year. We'll talk about basketball season. We'll talk about maybe doing one of these every couple of weeks live from the pavilion. I understand. We'll talk about it. But I've had some people ask me about it. So, Ben, maybe an opportunity for that. We'll see.
Hey, whatever and whenever. I love what this has become, what it's going to grow into. It's not going to be live after Lane, after football. Then it's going to be what? Live after beer doesn't have the same ring to it. We're going to keep doing these live
shows.
Tell
us what the name needs to be.
But live on location shows. That's what we're figuring out here. It's like I enjoy hanging out with Brad. I love talking to y'all. Thousands of people tune in to listen to us talk about the Rebels out on a postgame show. I think it's awesome. And having this fellowship with y'all, it's an answered prayer. It's a gift and blessing from God. And we will be back next week after Ole Miss, Florida. Early prediction from you, Brad Logan.
I think it's a 31-28 game. Oh. Yeah, I think Ole Miss wins a 3-point game. I think the spread right now is what? What was it, 7.5?
I think
Jake put on the board 7.5, maybe 8. So I think it's a 3-point game. I think Ole Miss wins 31-28. The place goes crazy. And here's my thing. Lane waves at the Florida fans on the way out.
Maybe they do like WWE and have a contract signing, bring the table out, you know, right beforehand. Then he signs it, you know, and then there's so many ways it could go.
Oh, no. Let me rephrase it. Lane chomps on the way to the locker room.
That's too ambiguous. But that would be too ambiguous because he's like, He's just saying it because he wants to be a Gator.
Anybody that would go to the locker room and take a shot at Mississippi State will Gator chomp Florida fans on the way to the locker room if they win.
We got Utah Paul 94 said he liked the drive home.
Well, we may go. Yeah, thank you. We may go back to that.
We may.
It does make sense because they're watching us and listening to us on the drive home. Sometimes, don't watch us going down the road.
We're always constantly workshopping. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Brad Logan. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and Affiliate of On 3. Sign up today for $1. Thanks to Alan Samuels. Thanks to Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, to Riverland Roofing, to B&A Bank, for all of those, all of you who support us and allowed us to do this show that keeps growing and keeps turning into whatever it's going to turn into. Yep. We'll be back. Thank you so much. For Brad, I'm Ben. See you next week.
So long, everybody.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.